Well, greetings to each one of you this afternoon. And there's probably not a place I'd rather be than right here today. Right here. There's probably nothing I'd rather do than open God's Word and share truths out of God's Word. It's just a real privilege. We don't know how blessed we are. Having the Word of God. We talked to that, the grandmother and the young boy that were here. Visited with them. John and I visited with them. And I asked him, I said, do you have a Bible? Have you read the Bible? And neither one of them had a Bible. And the grandma was a little familiar with the Bible, but the young man was not. Can you imagine that vacuum? Of not having the Word of God as your North Star. I don't know. Do you like that? I do. It's just the North Star. It's the way you're traveling. It's the way you're going to go. And you're going to live it from the Word. And you're going to make your thoughts and your direction and your activities and your person, will be directed by the Word of God. So we gave them a couple good verses, didn't we, John, and sent them on their way. John and I talked. I said, wouldn't you love to have some time, just to open the Word and share a little bit? Well, we've got that opportunity. So let's turn to Psalms and let's read out of Psalms. Love the Psalm this morning. Wasn't that a beautiful Psalm? Let's go to the Psalms of Ascent. There are 15 Psalms of Ascent. And we're going to read the second Psalm of Ascent. I'll get you there. Psalm of Ascent. And they start at Psalm 120 is the Psalms of Ascent, or Psalms of Degrees. And if you look at the next 15 psalms from Psalm 120, the next 15, they're beautiful psalms, just a collection of psalms that are special. We're going to read 121. It's a familiar psalm, but it's one we're going to review again today. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. It's just a tremendous psalm. Let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing How Great Thou Art. In the Brown Book, 302, How Great Thou Art. What reminds me of how great thou art is verse 2. I used to read Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. And I would stop there. You can't stop there. There's so many tremendous insights and truths after that. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The Lord that made heaven and earth is our helper. And how great our God is. Let's sing 302 together. Pray together. Father, what a privilege it is to kneel before Thee in prayer, even this afternoon, and even as we mentioned, there's no better place for us to be than here in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord," and a day in Thy quarters better than a thousand. I'd rather be the doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. And so, Father, this is better than a day, and Thy court is better than a thousand elsewhere, Lord. And we thank Thee and we praise Thee for being a mighty God. And, Lord, even as we sang, when we consider thy creation. We just want to sing how great thou art. Lord, thou art a great God. And even the psalmist recognizes that as he wrote that our help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth, and the keeper of Israel, and the keeper of our soul, and the Lord that will preserve us, the God that will preserve us, and we thank thee for that. And so, Father, we do praise thee as a creator, as a sustainer, as a giver of life and a protector of life, and Lord, that thou will not allow anything to happen to us without thy divine permission. And we thank thee for that, Lord. And we life is a mystery. We don't understand many things, but we trust thee, Lord, that thou art sovereign and thou dost control all things. And we are thankful for that, that we can put our hope in thee, Lord. And so, Lord, we know that we're flesh. We know that our flesh will fail us, and yet, Lord, that thou art the strength of our heart, and thou art our portion forever. So forgive us, Lord, when our flesh is weak, and Lord, forgive us for that, and cleanse us from that, and strengthen us in spirit. We know the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. So renew us, Lord, even at this time. And Lord, we want to thank thee. I mean, it's the last Sunday in this year. Many, many things we could thank thee for as we even think back, and maybe we'll do that even on Tuesday here at church. But a few things that come to my mind, Lord, is the converts, Lord, are probably one of the greatest joys. And Lord, just the fact that they, so many have turned to thee, and we've had eight baptisms, I think, in the last period of time. Lord, we're thankful for Manna and Bella and Easton and Tristan and Jack and Adrian and Noah and Landon, that they could share their testimony and be baptized. And Lord, we're thankful for those others that are walking with thee. And Father, we just ask for thy blessing upon them and keep them in thy care, Lord. And we are thankful, Father, for that. And Lord, we're thankful for the mission trip to Jamaica. As we think back, it was a good trip and exceeding abundantly above what we could even ask or think. Father, thanks for that and the blessing that was. We think of even December 1st at the women's prison. Father, thy hand of blessing and having the right people there. And Lord, we thank thee for that. We thank thee so much for that. And so, Lord, and also we do want to also pray. Father, your house should be called the house of prayer. And yet we do get tired of kneeling sometimes and we think, end it, stop it, it's enough praying, but not really, Lord, and yet we don't want to be long, but we do have so many things in our heart that we could pray for together, and it's such a blessing to pray together. And even as we mentioned Christmas Behind Bars, and we could send them $11,000 for their ministry, Lord, thank you so much for that and for heart change and the opportunities there. And Caitlin with Youth for a Mission, Lord, we pray for her, just strengthen her, guide her, and keep her from evil. And Lord, we think of Lon and Sarah and the time they spent in India, and even the fruit that remains there in India, Lord, just bless that and those people there. We think of Stan and Andrew, who shared not too long ago here, and we'll be soon heading back to India. Lord, just we ask for thy hand of blessing and protection and fruitfulness for them. And Father, Haiti and Lesson, Christine, and their work there. And Lana, and we're thankful for Lana. That would be another request of praise and thanks for her health. And Father, for bringing her from the valley of the shadow of death and giving her life, and we praise thee for that, Lord. And again, there are many other things. We think of CVE. We've been there different times. We are thankful for the ministry there. Keith and Lisa that lead that ministry, and bless them. And we think of Gateway Woods, and even as greetings were shared for Matt and Rachel, we pray for them. Give them strength in their opportunity. And Keith and Emily and their work that they are doing there. And again, Lord, we could mention many names, but we just commit that service to Thee and pray that Thy will be done. Bless our time in the Word, Lord, and thanks for this time. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's turn to Acts 17. Just a little convicted about this with this passage now, because I need to practice what I preach. I should preach what I practice. But when we talk to those young people, or talk to the people over lunch, my thought was, I shared Psalm 8 with them just a little bit, how God is mindful of them. When I consider the heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars, which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? Why, God, why, you know, you're this great creator God, amazing creator God. Why do you think of man? Why do you think of me? So I wanted that thought to, I wanted to share that thought with them. You know, God is thinking about you. Think of your creator God. And I don't think I said it quite, I didn't emphasize creator. I should have emphasized creator a little bit more. I should have emphasized it more with them, but I guess we did talk about it in briefly. Then it went to Psalm 139. And it says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. I mean, God is thinking about you. I don't know, John, did I say creator God? I should have. I really should have said creator God. I don't think I said it the way I should have. But I said, he thinks of you and he loves you. And then we went to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, you talk to somebody like that, how do you share with them? How do you start? How do you go? Well, there's so much, and you have to talk real fast. And why are you watching your time? Well, because we are under the time constraint, you know. Kept looking at my watch. How much time have I got? How much time have we got? Then John shared about Luke. He said, begin reading in Luke. And he opened a little bit to Luke and read a little bit. And it's a great idea. You know, read in Luke. Isn't Luke a great book to read? I mean, if you never understood the gospel, read in Luke. And that's what John said. And I just, you know, who knows? And I gave him a couple of those Bibles. I'm going to have to confess to Peter that I gave him the good Bibles too. You know, they're nice Bibles. I gave them two of them. I thought, this is worth it. You know, give them a nice Bible. And I thought, well, I could go get a paperback. Part of my mind is, I go get a paperback. Should I go get a paperback out of this middle room? Because we don't want to throw away money. You know, we got to have good investments. So I just give them a paperback. No, I decided to give them the good Bible. And I really hope they read it. But this is a story about how Paul would approach somebody that's really not heard, maybe, in Acts 17. And then I think it ties in with even our Psalm 121. But let's look at this. Just read a few verses. Acts 17, starting at verse 22. And this is a great lesson for us, kind of on how to approach people, maybe in a sense, or how do you lead into a conversation? Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and he said, of course, this was a discussion area. And I always think of Brother Ken and talk. I'd like him to come up here, and I won't have him, but he's been to Mars Hill. I've never been to Mars Hill, but that would be pretty cool because something comes in his mind. And I know he's preached about this when we talk about Mars Hill, because he can go there. It's kind of nice to go there, you know, just in your mind. But here's Paul. He says, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Verse 22, 23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this prescription, to the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. Now isn't that amazing? Paul says, I'm going to declare this God unto you. It's not a God that you can build an idol. It's so much different than these idols that you have. Verse 24. So mark this. Mark his words. This is very important because this is the God we worship and the God we serve. The God we kneel and bow down before. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell in all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness, that by that man, Jesus, whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. And Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Diothanes and the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. So there was fruit. But isn't that a great place to start? And I just will appeal to all of us the fact that God is our Creator God. And what does that mean? You know, I'm gonna set two camps. One is a camp that doesn't need God so much, and the other's a camp that does need God. And you know, we want to fit in the camp that does need God. And I think of Scripture. Who in Scripture? What group of people in Scripture? You know, they kind of had everything they needed. You know, they were kind of okay. You know, they didn't have to get on their hands and knees and cry out to God. They were pretty much self-sufficient. What group of people in Revelation? Can you think of one of the churches in Revelation that was, they were pretty, they kind of had it together. They really didn't have many needs. Remember that church? What it says in Revelation chapter 3? The church of the Laodiceans. Thou sayest, this is what this church says. They say, I am rich. Well, okay. And increased with goods. Sounds like Christmas, doesn't it? No, maybe not. Maybe that's just wrong. But, you know, as I read that, I think of that. You know, Christmas. Man, I'm rich. I've increased in goods. The grandkids have increased in goods, too. Well, probably more than... No, that was good. It was good. We had good. It was a good time. I am rich, and I increase in goods, and have need of nothing. This is what the church said, though. Church says, I don't need anything. I don't have any needs. And they know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That church had a need, but didn't recognize it. I mean, they didn't. They wouldn't go on their knees and praise Psalm 121. They would not do that. They didn't. I don't think they needed it. Now then, there's another camp, if you will. And I was trying to illustrate that this camp, and I just, boy, this picture is really vivid in my mind. My dad is sitting in a chair at the nursing home, my father, and he just had a stroke, slight stroke. And he's there and he's weak. And he says, will you help me? He says, will you help me? Dad needed help. And he says, will you help me? And my brother Jim was right there. He said, sure. Dad, I'll help you. And it was like Dad didn't hear Jim. He said, help me be faithful to the end. And so he was talking to God, wasn't he? He was asking God. He's asking the creator of this universe for help. And so I just think of those two camps. I think, well, you know, I'm rich. I've got plenty of goods. I'm okay. I don't need anything. And then I think of Dad. I think those are two camps. And you know, I'm trying to get more and more, drift over more and more to this camp. Or that's what I need. I need to get on my knees and I need to say, and whenever I read Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This verse was real special to be in Magdalena on Keith and Emily's back porch when they were in Magdalena. And Keith, you can picture that in your mind, can't you? Can't you picture that swing we built? That was the best work project ever. I love that. We went down on a work project, and I got to build a swing set with 4,000 pieces for my granddaughter, Kaylee. I mean, it was amazing. You think you can get that done in a couple hours? There's no way. It took us days. It was amazing. All the pieces, and of course, we stained it first. So that took it almost a day. But and Bill, we mixed some good cement down there too, didn't we? Bill, he was an amazing helper down there. We were mixing cement down there and did lots of things. But that was my favorite project. And if you look right out that back patio, there were the mountains. I will lift up my eyes into the hills. There were hills, more hills. They weren't huge, but it was special. You know, especially the sunset. You see that sun go down in the west, and you'd see those hills, and you'd think, I want to lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. And this group of people, the reason it's called it's fit in this part of the Bible is because as they would travel to Jerusalem, these 15 psalms, they would sing them as a family, or they'd sing them as a group. They'd be singing these songs, these psalms together, and they would lift up their eyes and as you drive in Israel, and as you approach Jerusalem, it's really exciting. It was to me. You look up, and Jerusalem kind of sits up on a hill, and you look up and you think, wow, this is really an amazing sight. And I will lift up my eyes into the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. I know where my help comes from. But you don't stop there. And you know, but this is an interesting thing, because I sent Brother Wayne this scripture. I sent him Psalm 121. And I think it's an encouragement, you know. And we lift up our eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. But life is a mystery. Why did Brother Wayne pass so quickly like that? I don't know. It's a mystery. Why is Lana still doing... Lana, you look great. She's doing great. We about lost her about how many times? How many times did you about lose her? A couple times. When she's in the hospital in Indianapolis, you know, she got weak and weak and, you know, with leukemia, and just... it about took her. And then she'd respond and come back. And it about took her. Her life was just hanging in a balance a couple different times. And you lift up your eyes to the hills, from whence cometh our help. Our help comes through the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God, if you made heaven and earth, you can help Lana. You can help Wayne. I mean, you can, but you know, it's a little bit of a mystery. You cast it to the Lord and you say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. And Lana's survived and lived. And it's a blessing. It's a real blessing. But this psalm is such an encouragement. And we're traveling also. And we're not traveling to Jerusalem, but we're traveling in life. And our help comes from the Lord. We need to be in that camp that says, please help me. Help me. I need help today. Why do I need help? Well, I think we just, personally, I'm just saying we need help in life. I think we need help in life. You know, we kneel down. We need help. Some of us need help in our own hearts. You know, just to be strong in our own hearts. Psalm 121 will do that. Can do that. As we think about this, our help will come from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We see Paul referring that, the Creator God. He's the one that can help us. Now think about Scripture. And as you think through Scripture, think of Genesis 1:1. What does it say? Yeah, I mean, boy, that's such a foundational passage. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Such a great passage. We think of some other psalms. Psalm 95. If you look at Psalm 95, and it's a psalm of praise. I love this. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Think about that. In His hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. What's the response? What's the next verse? Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we're His people. It's such a beautiful thing. Once you think about God creating the heavens and the earth, the psalmist saying, we'll offer praise to this, to our Creator God. And what stories do you like? I think I'm going to stop real quick. And what are some stories you like about Creator God? You know, I talk about this all the time, don't you? Talk about this way too much. But you know, I love the verse. Our children. Was that? I don't know if I gave that verse to, if I had that verse written on the wall. I didn't know if I had that. I saw a good brother use their phone the other day up here in the pulpit. I've never done this, but I think I'm going to do it. I saw a really good brother do this the other day. This is not precedent. Okay. It was to Emily. And Emily's not even here. Is she? Oh, she was hiding. Emily is in here. Listen. Put a verse on Emily's wall when she was growing up. A lady at school did a counter cross stitch, and it was beautiful. And it says, Emily, and under there was, our children too shall serve Him, for they shall hear from us about the wonders of the Lord. Isn't that a great verse? You know, if you think about the wonders of the Lord, and I'll tell you maybe just one wonder, and then we'll move on. But this was a wonder when we were doing some homeschooling with Kaylee, and I had to do science with her. And she was reading about the blue whales. I mean, this is amazing to me. I need to do this more often. I wish I could do it once a day. I probably could, but I typically don't. But listen, the blue whale is so amazing. It's like, and you know some of these things, but I just, you know, it's as long as three school buses. That's pretty big. That's a pretty big creation. Its tongue weighs as much as your car. Its tongue. It grows 200 pounds a day as a baby. Can you imagine? Its heart is as big as my Volkswagen. I used to have my VW, my old Beetle. Its heart is that big. This is what Kaylee's book was saying. I thought, this is amazing. And its blood vessels are big enough that your grandkids could crawl through. Isn't that, I mean, just think about that. Who could create that thing? Unbelievable. And that's just one of billions of stories you could tell about the amazing creation, isn't it? I mean, God, I will lift up my eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God, if You made heaven and earth, You can help me with this. You know, I'm struggling a little bit with my attitude. I need correction on my attitude. Go to your knees. It's got to be in this camp. It's got to be in the camp. I need help. My help. I need help. And but let's. That's a creation in heaven, but or in earth. But when you lift up your eyes, and that's what this says. I will lift up my eyes. We're way too often our eyes are just on earth. We don't lift up our eyes. It's a beautiful thing to lift up your eyes. And this fall and this winter has been a beautiful sunrise and sunset time. I mean, it really has been. It's been a beautiful time. And Edie and I like to go for walks. I think we're just spoiled. We're just flat out spoiled. I'm just telling you. You want to get spoiled, go for walks. Go for walks in the morning, go for walks in the evening. Except she wouldn't go with me after getting pretty late, 11 o'clock. She wouldn't go with me. I just couldn't figure it out. Do you want to go, honey? No. So that's just kind of a family joke. But you go out. I mean, you listen, you've got to, again, you've got to have a blue whale story, and you've got to have a story about astronomy, how unbelievable it is. You know, and as I see that sun come up, and it's amazing, and we're walking and maybe like, and we pray together. We're walking and praying. You see that sun coming up, and there's got to be some connections. Or you walk at night, and you see, you know, you see that bright star, and then you see other bright stars. You see that, and you've got to be amazed at that. At least I'm thinking you do, because that's part. Because as we are, we see our God in a different way. This is just my quick little thing, and then we'll move on. But that sun, every second, is losing 4 million tons of energy. It's burning up 4 million tons of energy in 1 second. I just look at that sun, I just am amazed. I go, I just can't believe that. Now, science may be lying, but that's what they tell us. I don't know if it's true or not. I can't verify it, but that's what they say. But you know what? It's going to burn and burn and burn for 5 billion more years. That's what they tell us. It's going to keep burning for 5 billion years. How could you create that? I don't know. You know what I love? A verse I love in Isaiah. I will lift up my eyes. No, that's this one. Let's see. What does it say? Let's read it. Isaiah 40. Ah, yeah, it says that. It says, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? It says who. Got that? Who. Lift up your eyes on high and behold, who. It's not what. Please don't say what. Ireland, if you could spread the word at Purdue, I think they would be better off. It's not what created it. It's who created it. It's our God, right? Who has created these things? It bringeth out their host by number. He calls all by name by the greatest of his might. For he is strong in power, not one faileth. 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Listen to this. The everlasting God. Okay, he's everlasting. The Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He doesn't faint. He doesn't grow weary. There's no searching of his understanding. That's such, you know, when you see that creator God, look, it pops up all the way through Scripture. You know, the creator God, and God refers back to that. I think it's so important for us to think about and to realize. Let's go to Revelation 4. Just Revelation 4. I'm just getting started, but I'm about done. Okay? I mean, this is good stuff. And, we're just getting started at 121. Look at 4:11. Now, this is really neat. 4:11. And we don't have time to read too much more, but the backstory. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. God is worthy to receive that. God is worthy to receive our glory. God is worthy to receive our praise. God is worthy of all, he's all powerful. Why? For thou hast created all things. Oh, that's one reason we praise him. He's created all things. He created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's just a tremendous, tremendous scripture. Okay, Let's finish up at Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. You know, as I kneel down and pray, I said, God, you've made heaven and earth. You can heal Wayne. There is no problem with that. And I really believe that. But you know, God doesn't always choose to do that. I believe Jesus knelt down in the garden. He said, Father, I know you can come up with a different plan, but not my will, but your will be done. Isn't there a different plan? I mean, you can call 10,000 angels. I think that's a good plan, Jesus might have thought in his own will, in his own thinking. That could be a good plan. Call 10,000 angels, please. Please, no. God says, no, this is the way we should go. You know, but God did not, look at verse 3, God, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. God's not going to suffer Jesus' foot to be moved. He won't suffer our foot to be moved. He won't allow it. Behold, he that keepeth Israel, I wish we could talk about that. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. That's a miracle in itself. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. You know what a keeper is? It's like a keeper of prison. Or it's like a keeper of the garden. Well, you treasure it. You guard it. You protect it. A keeper of the house. You know, it's very important to you. You keep these things. And you don't let your grandkids get a hold of things like that. If you want to keep them, you don't let your grandkids get a hold of them. If you don't, you know, if you're willing to get rid of them, then just, you can share them. It's okay. But certain things you don't share with your grandkids, do you? Really, treasures. You know, you wouldn't share your treasures. Now, they got a whole treasure chest. You know, they're gold and gold, full of gold and jewels in there. And they play with those jewels. But they're not worth much because they're all fake. You know, you don't allow your, give them your silver and your gold and go play with my silver and gold. You keep that. You treasure that. And that's what God is. God treasures us. God loves us. And I really like that. The Lord is thy keeper, verse 5. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. Lord, we need that. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy soul. Dear God, please preserve my soul. Please preserve me from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I read about those men. I thought about, that's tough. Those men, just right after Christmas, that ISIS took this Christmas. You know, what would I say? You know, I could be quoting Psalm 120. The Lord shall preserve my going out and my coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. He will. He's going to take me straight to heaven. If they would have cut off my head, I'm going to go straight to heaven. I can still quote this and trust that God allows that. I can still quote this and say, God, you are sovereign. You're the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're the keeper of Israel. You're my keeper. You're going to not allow anything to enter into my life without your permission. And I am so thankful for that. Let's be in the camp that says, God, it says, I need you. I need you. My heart needs you. We just need you. Psalm 121, beautiful psalm.
Appreciate my brother sharing with us this afternoon out of the Word, and he has opened the door wide open for me to reflect back to the time that we spent so many days here in Indianapolis with Lana. And I'm going to take the opportunity now for those of you that were here and remember that time, thank you. Boy, this church really reached out to us and we tried to thank you and over the years, but I get the opportunity right now to just personally thank you. That was 15 years ago. How time goes by and gets, and you know, at the time we had after we got through it, ever hear of survivor's guilt? There were some that we families that we got to know while we were at Riley's hospital there, some young children and parents, and we got to know them and their children, and Lana survived. She God preserved her life, let her live. But there are other children there at the same time going through the same treatments, going through the same protocols that Lana was doing that didn't survive. And you can really start asking questions, and one young man, a young boy that didn't survive was from the Rensselaer area, and we got to know his parents pretty well, and you know, it was shortly after Lana's treatments and within the next year, months after, and going through Walmart at Rensselaer, and you come around the corner and there the parents are and there we are with Lana. And you just watch the parent break down. Because here we get Lana and they don't get their child. And you wonder why. And I think of the Oriental couple that was there and their little young little girl that was relapsed, and we would talk to them and talk to them about God, and no, they were unbelievers and they didn't believe. They just, life is as it is, and they had hope, you know, that the doctors are going to fix their child. Modern medicine was going to take care of their issues, and their little girl relapsed, and time went on, and she was given a few days to live, and the doctors did all they could for her and went into the hospital room to visit them. And I'll never forget that picture. Dad's sitting in the hospital bed with their little girl on his chest, holding her, clinging to her. And once more I reached out and said, "Can I pray for you?" And at that time they said, "Please do. Please do." And you think of Mars Hill, and I don't want to go too long here, but you know, the couple, the people that were here, and you're talking about witnessing too, and we read this to the Paul saying to the unknown God, you know, let me tell you about the unknown God that you're praying to, and how do you start to share? Where do you begin? What do you, and we can think of Peter, who we read his accounts. Well, there's beginning of Acts, we'd read 3,000 souls come to the Lord in his preaching, and Paul, we don't read about that from Paul's teaching, going to and from the cities and in his ministry. And how do you start? And this couple with this little child that's dying, where do you start? How do you start? And I'm thankful that sometime, in my growing up, and I was taught that there's the Jews and the Gentiles. When we'd read in 1 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, that the gospel, we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews. It's a stumbling block to the Greeks. It's foolishness. You know, to the couple there holding this baby, him laying there, for us to serve a God was just serving another God. To say that Jesus was the only way was foolishness, because there's all gods. And he was Greek. It was Greek. I would see him as a Greek, as the Romans were. They had all their gods. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block to just say that Jesus is the only way. They understood the creation story. They understood that blood needed to be shed for sin, because they had Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the sacrifice of the lambs. They understood the need for salvation. They just stumbled over the fact that Jesus was the only way. And so our experience with Lana in the hospital and meeting so many of these people, and I just encourage you that when you visit, and for myself too, I'm reminded again, I think the first thing that I need to do when I sit down next to the person on a plane, I need to discover how much of this do you even know? Are you a Greek? And you have all these gods in your world? And you're just trying, and to say that there's only one true God is foolishness? Or do you understand that there is, that you are a sinner and that you need salvation? And just don't let Jesus be a stumbling block. But let the rock that we read about this morning not crush you, but give you the foundation for life and eternal life. And so, thanks for teaching us this afternoon. And when your brothers select a hymn, we can sing together.
could ask somebody to